It's just review. Proverbs 11 and verse number 20. So we don't. Proverbs 11 and verse number 20. Sorry. Proverbs 11 and verse 20. Remember, we last time we met, we looked at, began to look at the abomination of God, the last of the four parts of the abomination of God. And let's read Proverbs 11 and verse 20. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their ways are his delight. Proverbs 11 and verse 20. Father, for the few minutes we have, we're just reviewing what we went over last week. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would be a help to us, Father. I pray as we gather together and really speak one last time on this matter of abominations of God, Father, that we would take a good hard look at ourselves and make sure that these things that you say are treachery to you, Father, would not be found in our lives. Father, we pray for these requests that we asked earlier, Lord. Again, you meet their needs. We pray for Miss Diana not feeling well tonight as well, Father. You help her recover from the medication she'd taken last night, Father. She'll be up and again being able to do the things that she loves to do. So, Father, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we looked here in Proverbs 11, verse number 20, we looked at this idea of the froward or the perverted heart, and what a froward heart is and what a froward heart will do. That word froward, can you tell me what that means? Do you remember? It's been a week or so. Do you remember what the word froward means? Maybe you put it in your own words. It doesn't have to be the technical definition of the word froward. What do you think it means? Debbie? That's right. Crooked, distorted, or perverted. But it also can mean difficult to deal with. Maybe you have some people at your work or maybe even your household that are froward at times. And also it gives this idea of being stubbornly disobedient or contrary people. And the word really describes the wicked as living in twisted or having a distorted mind. And their thinking is constantly and consistently warped on evil only. And we gave you a couple of biblical illustrations of that. And first of them, do you remember who they were? Was Eli's son. Do you remember their names? Phinehas and Hophnias. That's right. Hophni and Phinehas. And these men were perverted in their actions and their thinking, and they turned the service of the Lord into a brothel. And literally, they were having sexual immorality with the ladies that came to the temple in order to serve. And I said last week that it was the ancient version of a modern sex scandal among pastors or among preachers. So don't think it's just a modern thing when you hear about preachers falling. I read this blog. It has church leaders, and oftentimes they're highlighting pastors and deacons and churches and Sunday school teachers that have done terrible things to children and terrible things of committing adultery, and it's terrible. Listen, it's not just a now thing. It was from the beginning of time, ever since the fall in the garden. And then we spoke about those two. We said how terrible that they were, and we talked about the ladies that were assembled at the door, and we said probably these women actually gathered together as servants, and they were the keepers of the gate. And we made mention that was the case in the high priest in John chapter 18 and verse number 17, and with the damsel at the door with Peter in Matthew 26 and verse number 29. And then we made mention as well that Hophnias and Phinehas did not know the Lord. And remember what the Bible called them? The sons of what? Belial, which Belial means what? The devil. So listen, if someone calls you the son of Belial, the son of the devil, that is not good. And here the clear meaning is simply this, that they were not a child of God. And they weren't trusting in what Christ was going to do for them on the cross and we look back to the cross. They look forward to the cross, but they were the sons of the devil. And the Bible said they knew not the Lord in 1 Samuel 2 and verse number 12. And then we find that Eli in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 24 said this, "Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress." And again, they were having sexual relations with the ladies that would gather at the temple door to serve. And later on, Eli would pay a great price for failing to correct their behavior. Do you know what happened, the story of Eli? What happened to him? David, do you remember? Yeah, anybody remember? Did he fall off a stool and break his neck? Yeah, he fell off a stool and supposedly broke his neck. God brought discipline upon him for that. And I thought that was kind of and we think of discipline of like, you know, that you have a car wreck or you lose your house. Or sometimes, I hate to say this, but sometimes God doesn't bring chastisement, discipline on us. He'll allow things to come into life of people that we love and our children and our mothers or fathers. But here we find that he fell off a stool. And I guess he was a big old man and fell off a stool and broke his neck. So I guess the moral of the story is if you're running from the Lord and not doing what you're supposed to do, raising your children the right way, do not sit on the stool. Amen. Because that's what happened to Eli. And since we know what froward means, we can see why God despises a froward heart. We may mention it was illustrated by David in Psalm 101 in verse number 4. "A froward heart shall depart from me. I shall not know a wicked person." It was illustrated by his son Solomon. And as far as Solomon was concerned, he said this, "All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them." And because of that, we find that God hates a froward mouth. Proverbs 8 and verse 13 says this, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way." And notice what he said, "The froward mouth do I hate." I don't know about you, but I want to hate things that God hates. I want to love the things that God loves. The point is simply this, that they that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, according to Proverbs 11 and verse number 20. You know, almost the same thing is written in Proverbs 3 and verse 32, where the Bible says the froward is an abomination to the Lord. Let's not be froward. We'll pick up next week. We'll start right off with the Bible study next week, and we'll look at this idea of not only what a froward heart is and will do, as we reviewed today from 2 weeks ago, but we'll look at this idea of the believer's response to the froward, and you'll be surprised at what our response is. Let's just turn there and look at that verse, 1 Peter 2 and verse 18. Turn there, 1 Peter 2 and verse 18, and we'll get someone to read that. Then we'll close in prayer, and this is where we'll pick up. What is our response to be when people who are froward cross our path? Because here's the truth, they will cross your path, amen. How are we are to react to them? How are we to respond to them? Who hasn't read yet today? Probably nobody has, except for me. So who would like to read 1 Peter 2 and verse 18? All right, thank you, brother. Go ahead and read. Oh, my goodness. What's this verse telling us in your own words? What's it telling us in your own words? Nobody could hear? Nobody could read? What's this verse telling us? To obey? Yeah. No matter who it is? Yes, that's a great answer. Brother? That's right. Yes, that's a great answer. "Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward." So we ought to be good and gentle. How we respond to those that are froward towards us, respond with goodness and gentleness, amen. And you'll be a long way living the fruit of the Spirit in your life, amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the time we